Today's scripture reading is from John 10, 1 through 21. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the shepherd hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not allow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this to figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and you will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life. I have it abundantly. I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes from me, but I lay down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Thank you, Robert. Back before Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, there were only four networks. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS, and PBS. And I remember back in the early 70s, we didn't get a TV until about 1973, probably. 72, somewhere in there. I got my first introduction to cartoons. Saturday morning. It's what I looked forward to, Saturday morning, because that's the only time you could watch cartoons, except for just a little snippet after school at 4 o'clock, I think. Major Astro would come on or something like that. I can't remember exactly. I usually didn't get to watch that. But anyway, I recall one cartoon in particular, and I liked to watch Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, of course. But on that Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour was one cartoon that aired occasionally. It was The Adventures of Ralph Wolf and Sam the Sheepdog. I don't know whether any of you remember that one, but there was this time clock, and it was out there in the middle of the woods, the green meadow wood. There were trees, and there was a meadow out here and a cliff. And anyway, they would clock in, and Ralph and Sam, they would greet each other as they came to time. "Yeah, how was your weekend, Ralph?" "Oh, it was okay." And Sam would say, "Yeah, well, that's how life goes sometimes, you know." And so they'd go in, they'd clock in, and they'd go to their respected places. And they each had a duty they had to perform every day. And Ralph's job was to try to steal the sheep, of course. He was a wolf, and eat the sheep. That was his job. That's what he was supposed to do. Sam, on the other hand, was to protect the sheep. And he would sit there on that little ledge out there overlooking the sheep. And he would, you didn't know whether he could see anything because he had this mane over his eyes. You could never see his eyes. But yet, somehow, Sam always foiled Ralph's little trickery to get the sheep. I mean, it would seem like those sheep were almost, one time they were in the oven and they were being cooked. And somehow Sam, the sheepdog, saved those sheep. Every time he foiled Ralph's plans. Now Ralph looked a little bit like his distant cousin, Wile E. Coyote. That's what they said. He was a cousin or something like that. I'm not sure. Maybe he was a brother. I don't know. But Ralph was a little bit bigger, I think, than what Wile E. Coyote, a wolf would be. But anyway, nonetheless, Sam Sheepdog was no ordinary sheepdog because we know what a sheepdog does in our society. And their job is just kind of nip at the heels of the sheep, you know, and keep them all together in one group. Not let one get away out of the group. You know, if one tries to stray, they get them back in the group. My mom and Calvin Keeling had a little bit of a discussion about that, about the role of the pastor in a church. And Mom thought that the pastor should be the shepherd. And I think Calvin kind of misunderstood my mother a little bit, because Calvin maybe thought that he was saying he was supposed to be the good shepherd, which there's only one good shepherd. The rest of us really are sheep when it gets down to it. Because we all stray, we all fall short. But the good shepherd is constant. And that's kind of what I thought. I almost akin Sam the sheepdog, maybe a little bit to like that shepherd, the good shepherd, because Sam was not a sheep. And yet he wasn't like an ordinary dog either. It seemed like he had this intuition that there was danger lurking and knew how to get around that danger and save the sheep and bring them back, all of them unharmed. Let's look at the picture that Jesus gives us here in John 10. And it's a wonderful portrait of a shepherd caring for his sheep. The shepherd would lead his sheep out to a distant area. Back in the day, back in those days when there was no fencing and grazing was anywhere you wanted to graze. I'm not sure whether it's like that over in the Holy Lands now or not, whether they can still graze their flocks where they wanted to. I'm thinking probably not. But then they just would graze wherever they found the grass to graze. And at night, the shepherd would build a temporary corral, or they would have a temporary corral that they had built, and they would bring the sheep all in, and the shepherd, he would lay down his body in front of the opening of the corral. And so any wolf or any animal or any bear or whatever the predator might be could not get into the fold without stepping over the shepherd. So the shepherd was the gate. And that's kind of what Jesus was talking about there in the scripture, I think. So more than any other duty, the goal of the shepherd was to protect the sheep. This is how you know a good shepherd from a bad shepherd. Does the leader have the best interests of the people at heart? How do you know that he or she is a good shepherd? You know by looking at the sheep. Looking at Jesus' teaching here in John 10, I want to ask a few questions and see what the answers might be. And the first question is, what are the needs of the sheep? I'm going to need to take a little drink here. The first and obvious answer to that question is protection. Jesus says that there are predators always trying to get into the sheep pen. And we know that, you know, there were sheep and coyotes and wolves and cougars or whatever it might be, and they were trying to trick Every trick in the book, just like that Ralph the Wolf was trying to trick Sam to get at the sheep, you know, and you've all heard that sheep aren't always the smartest creatures in the animal kingdom. I have never really worked with sheep, but my brother did a time or two, and he really detested having to dip those sheep every spring, or they would have this dip wagon that would go around. And it had this little, and my brother was a strong guy, and he would usually get the job of grabbing the sheep and throwing them into that dip little pool that they had in that wagon. And that would be his job, either push them in or, even worse, to make sure they got out, because after they got out, they were wet, and they were probably 20 pounds heavier. It seemed like they were that much heavier anyway. But you would do that all day and get those sheep dipped and take care of any ticks or anything else they might have on them. But we do know that sheep are creatures of habit. And this was another one of the things that really was an issue, because they grazed the same hills until they became desert wastes, until there is no more grass left. And they also tend to be creatures of bad hygiene. They pollute their ground until it's run over with disease and parasites if they don't move on to new ground. And they also will live in their own filth if not allowed other means. They're creatures with heavy coats. Their fleece can grow very long and become weighed down with mud, manure, and debris. And if the sheep aren't sheared occasionally, this heavy coat, if they're in, causes them to be in danger when they lie down, because they can roll over onto their back and all four legs will be flailing up in the air and they can't get rolled back over. And they'll eventually suffocate and die. Or they can anyway, if they get down in a little depression. So the shepherd comes and he puts the sheep back on their feet. To the sheep's own destruction, they become burdened down with things. Sometimes we become burdened down with things too. Protection is the first task of the shepherd, because sheep by nature are followers. And that's the second thing I want us to see in our text. There's a story that's told of a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read the question on the application blank that asked, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote no and returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this letter from the college. "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals this year our college we'll have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." Most of us do not think of ourselves as followers. We style ourselves as leaders, but truth be told, the vast majority of us are not. Outside of parenthood, we rarely are placed into positions of ultimate care over others. But Jesus recognizes that we are all by nature followers, that we need those over us to care for us. Sheep are followers. The voice of the one they know, of the one they recognize, they will follow, but the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So what are the needs of the sheep? They need to follow someone and they need protection. And the next question is this: who will be given the responsibility to care for these creatures? Will it be a good shepherd or a bad shepherd? Someone will step into this void, and the health of any given flock of sheep depends on the type of person who is over them. If the shepherd is gentle, kind, and intelligent, and brave, and selfless in his devotion to his flock, the sheep will thrive. If the shepherd is cruel, inattentive, haphazard, and selfish, the sheep will struggle, suffer, and starve, and their hardship will know no end. As we read further in verse 11 and 12, Jesus contrasts the good shepherd with a temporary shepherd who is a hired hand. Jesus says that these shepherds are not fully committed to their cause because They don't own the sheep. Have you ever been fully committed to some cause? Have you had full ownership of some project or program? If you have, then you know what our Lord is talking about. Who puts in the most hours? Who works the hardest? Who worries the most? Who cares the deepest? Is it the owner? It's certainly not the hired hand. Jesus says, when they see the wolves coming, they leave the sheep and run away. And let's be candid, not all of us, all of those who are appointed as pastors have the people's best interests at heart. I think that's one of the reasons why this community of believers leaned toward a shared ministry approach in the beginning. I think that was Marlo Oldman's vision and June Sitzer's vision. That's Judson Hornbaker's vision. And I think that's some of your vision as well. But with ownership comes responsibility. And here comes my final point. Because we are all sheep, and we can all stray at times. And yet, we are called to minister to one another. And once in a while, like Calvin Keeling's point, we need to be like that sheepdog, maybe, just nipping at the heels of the other one that's maybe going astray a little bit. And that's not always easy to do, to point out something that might be wrong or right or questionable. But the fact is that Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. He didn't only say that once, he said that three times. One time he said, feed my lambs. But you get the picture. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all brothers and sisters. So let me ask the last question. What are the traits of an effective shepherd? Many traits could be listed. Our own native Kansan, Dwight D. Eisenhower, said, in order to be a leader, a man must have followers. And to have followers, a man must have their confidence. Hence, the supreme quality of a leader is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter whether it is on a section gang, on a football field, in an army, or in an office. If a man's associates find him guilty of phoniness, if they find that he lacks forthright integrity, he will fail. His teachings and actions must square with each other. The first great need, therefore, is integrity and high purpose. Looking through several books and quotes about effective leadership, I came up with a list of traits, and these five were present in most of the list. Number one is courage. Leaders express ideas to help others improve in spite of personal risk or opposition. Number two was nonconformity. Simply swimming with the tide leaves you nowhere. Number three, foresight, the ability to look ahead and see what's coming. Number four, steadiness, having patience and persistent despite failures and obstacles. And number five, righteousness, the willingness to do the right thing and speak the truth. These are the marks of a true leader, but none seem willing to go as far as Jesus did. He always had a way of summing up the meaning of a thing. He took the Ten Commandments and the law of the Torah and said, love God and love your neighbor, and you will fulfill the law. He took the complicated issue of divorce and said, God hates divorce, so don't do it. When the disciples said, how do we pray? He said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he looks out at the people and he sees that they have bad shepherds, have had bad shepherds, that the nation has been put in danger because of their leaders. And he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You can't argue with that. That is true leadership. We all will spend our lives trying to be imitators of Christ, whether we are leaders or whether we are followers. We all want to be a leader. A shepherd to lead us. Someone we can trust. Someone who has our best interests at heart. Someone who will not disappoint. I offer you Christ. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. May God bless the sheep in this church and those who shepherd as well. Amen.